Welcome back to The Edge. Google spam update is done in record time. Uber ads are coming in the journey. Hey, Facebook and TikTok are approving ads with political misinformation just days before the election. What could go wrong there? Liking the Berry Blast, we've got more for you today. You're listening to News from The Edge for the week of October 24th here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From The Edge of the Web Studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
Guess what? We got Marty back. Marty's here. Yay! The crowd goes wild.
Wow. What a great day it is for all.
Yay!
You're back. You were sick.
I was sick. Yeah, I was not feeling up to my snappy self last week. And I was a little bit down.
So what happened?
Couple things, and then a procedure, quote unquote.
How was your procedure?
Everything came out in the end.
Oh, that's
terrible. Hey, I'm Aaron Sparks with Site Strategics. Welcome back to Edge of the Web Radio. News from the Edge covers the SEO and digital marketing news of the week, separate from our weekly interview, getting you more news to you even more quickly. So check out edgeofthewebradio.com for all the shows. Speaking of, make sure that you catch this week's interview podcast with a third segment of our interview with Olga Zarzeshna. We covered a slew of top SEO mistakes in our first two episodes. In this final episode, we actually cover the recent story that she regarding her content being plagiarized and the support of the SEO community. So please check that one out. Our title sponsor of News from the Edge is Site Strategics. We're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor. Very proud of the team here. One of the top SEO companies in our region. We're consummate learners. That's the reason for this show. And I want to make sure that you learn a little bit more about us. So I want to talk a little bit about them midway through the show. Joining me this week to get his share on all things news, or at least digital marketing news, is Morty Oberson. He's the head of SEO branding at Wix. We have him back. He's been gone for a few weeks now, celebrating holidays galore.
Many holidays.
So are there some fun holidays? Do you get to eat that much?
There's some somber ones, some serious ones, right. And they end up with, look, when you think party animals, you generally don't think Jews. So like our version of like, yeah, that was a wild time is basically dancing around with the Torah in synagogue in a circle for like an hour or two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big party.
Big fun.
Celebratory and I ate too much.
Oh, okay. Well, there was at least a little bit of.
Oh, there's a lot of food. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we got you back, and certainly it's not the same without you, man.
Look. You know, Andrew tried. He tried as hard as he could to be less annoying than me, but did it work? Probably. It's not really that hard to do. So
trying to be less annoying.
Way to set the bar high, Andrew. Way to set the bar high.
I mean, I think there's like 8 billion people in the world that are less annoying than you. I could be wrong.
I would think we've gone off the rails with this.
I like how Aaron said there's 8 billion people in the world less annoying than Morty, and there's not even 8 billion people in the world. So,
bitch. I was playing.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
future people.
That's like,
future people, present and future.
Babies who will be born in the year 2030 are still less annoying than Morty is how I heard that.
And they crap their pants.
Well, not yet, but they will.
They will. And that will be less annoying.
Unless by that time we've created some kind of system where babies don't want to crap their pants.
I'm so sorry. 7.75 billion people.
Oh, you were rounding.
I was rounding up.
He's rounding. It's math.
It's fuzzy math, right?
Fuzzy numbers.
All right. So pretty much there's no one on the earth as annoying as Morty. That's what we're trying to get across here. Are you owning this space?
Wait. Ted Cruz.
Where did this just go to we? Wait a minute.
Yeah, Ted Cruz got a bit of a heckling at a Yankee game.
If you haven't seen that, that's great.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know why he decided. I feel like, you know, it would be a great idea if I walk smack into the middle of New York City into the Bronx. They're going to love me there.
Right.
Wow. And I wish we could play it on the show here, but nope. You know what? Probably offend a few ears out there.
I am so proud of New Yorkers being from New York. The way we say the F word.
Yeah.
There's an extra to the U.
It really is. It's got some gravitas there.
There's something to it. Get the...
Okay. SEO news. Let's go ahead and go into the first article from Search Engine Roundtable. Barry Schwartz is actually creeping back into our top lineup of stories. We gave him his own room. I mean, Barry, can't you just stay there? No. Of course. He jumps into Search Engine Roundtable as a first story because, hey, we got to talk about it. If you didn't know about it, there was a spam update. Google's October 2022 spam update is completed in less than or around 42 hours. Google has fully rolled out the last spam update. It began October 19th, and about 11 a.m. Eastern Time was completed October 21st, about 5 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, that said, he got some specs on the entire rollout, and Google announced that on the 19th, it improves Google's spam detection techniques. Google said sites that violate our policies may rank lower in results or not appear in results at all. Here's the thing, guys. If we're actually paying attention to all the lineup of updates here recently, Helpful Content was actually kind of focusing on AI content as potential spam content. Now we have a core update, and then on top of that, we have a spam update. You think they're cleaning house a little bit here, folks? And even Glenn Gabe had some notable changes in his LinkedIn post here over the weekend regarding some pretty sizable changes that he was noticing on a couple sites. Morty, what was your take there on the spam update?
First off, I like how you said even Glenn Gabe. It's unexpected that Glenn Gabe is showing data around algorithm updates. That's like saying, like, it's fascinatingly bizarre that there's people who are less ignoring than Morty.
No. Actually, you know, usually Glenn doesn't do this immediately during an algorithm.
What are you? Glenn is all over this. There's no one more on top of this than Glenn.
Exactly. But he usually is. I mean, all right, fine. He's out there. He's cranking it out. He's showing a lot of major changes. I'm just saying.
All right, yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay. I think we're on the same. Fine, thank you. My take. Well, like I said, or will be saying on the SERPs Up podcast over at wix.com/SEO/learn.
He did it again.
I will get it in every episode, somehow, some way. If you got hit by the update, check your rankings, check your site, check your content, and then check your soul.
Ooh, there's a drop right there.
However, it appears to me that Google may have tacked onto this the end of the spam update, another algorithm update of sorts, because I've seen many sites with pretty stable rankings, high quality websites, all of a sudden see those very stable rankings all of a sudden fluctuate for a day or two, come back or not come back just yet. But by the time we push out this podcast, it probably will be back. But it looks like Google did push something else on top of this. And Google has mentioned in the past that they sometimes piggyback algorithm updates or changes to the SERP when they do these updates. So perhaps, or maybe just coincidence, who knows?
That's interesting. Some of the chatter on Barry's post right there, lost more than 50% since yesterday. Hope this is temporary. Down 30 to 40% in HCU, recovered 15 to 20% in the core, back down to HCU levels in PRU. Oh my gosh. And going down even below as the rankings are worst it's ever been. Right now seeing a sharp decline in ranking. Is that update announced or not? 50,000 daily to 2,000 daily. Well done, Google. The thing is, there's a few people that are complaining here. And whenever we see this much chatter, I mean, these are all not spam site webmasters here. I mean, there's some legitimacy of things just getting rattled around right now, right? That's what you're saying. But you're saying that there's an actual additional update that's happening on top of this spam update.
Look, machine learning is always recalibrating all the time anyway. So sure. It could just be like a sort of, you know, sort of coincidence. I don't know. But what I can say is that I strongly think that a lot of the movement people are seeing is not related to the spam update.
There's a tweet on this page. They are trying every webmasters to quite SEO, start running ads, whatever that says.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And John jumps in. It's a spam update. If you've been making spam, maybe don't make spam.
There you go.
Oi. All right. Well,
that's what I mean. Like the fact, like it's like when they announce, if you look at the weather tools, you don't see a big jump. But when they said that it's finished, then you do see a big jump in the volatility. Like, I think something got tacked on there. Again, if you got hit by the spam part of it, search your soul.
Search your soul.
have one.
You know, somebody's asking, John, what is considered spam in this case? Well, we have spam policies that list a lot of this and points directly to the spam policies. It's out there.
Like if he tells you, if you have to ask, then you know it's wrong.
Exactly. What really spam, what is considered spam? Oh, my gosh, that's terrible.
What is this spam you speak of?
All right. Well, if you didn't know about it, it came out very, very quickly this past weekend. Jump on there. Look at your site. Like Morty says, watch it, but don't freak out because things do actually go through a point of volatility and be able to stabilize down. We've had more updates here recently than ever before that I can count, compacted in a three-month period of time. I may be wrong. I mean, maybe the PRU updates and everything back in November of last year were pretty heinous as well, but this one has some meat to it. The trifecta, I guess.
IOUs.
There we go. All right. So, hey, we are proud to have Site Strategics as a sponsor of Edge of the Web. Our firm is 18 years old. About to send this little firm off to college. Amazing. We're one of the top SEO companies here in the States. Our core specialties are technical SEO, entity SEO, SEM, social media management and marketing, conversion optimization that actually is focused on results-based marketing. Who knew? We also developed a pretty unique omni-channel broadcast methodology, all derivative of what we've done here in 10 years of actually doing this podcast. So we curate content, we move it into all the different channels, the omni-channel approach. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, and by the way, we do actually make podcasts regularly, and the aforementioned Wix Serps Up podcast, right? Is a creation of Edge and Site Strategics over here, and obviously with full-on participation of Morty, right? Because he's the ringleader over there. But we had a great time doing it, and we're punching out each and every week. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, we can make a podcast that surpasses Serps Up. How about that?
I know. Hey, look, you guys are wonderful producers of podcasts.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're getting a testimonial live here on Unscripted.
It's amazing. Thank you. Wonderful. I appreciate
it. Customer service is fantastic.
Customer service? Even Jacob?
Especially Jacob. I was only referring to Jacob.
All right. Well, hey, if you're interested in what we can do for you, give us a call over 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. Second article over at Search Engine Land from Nicole Farley. Uber ads are coming and are already raising some privacy concerns. Uber's new journey ads will be shown in the Uber app at least three times, count them three times, during the rider's journey, no matter how brief. The new feature will let brands place ads using data drawn from riders' travel history and their precise geographic destinations, according to Uber. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, right? How the new ads will work, though they're not available globally yet, Uber's going to be testing the ads with a few brands at launch. The new product will let brands sponsor an entire trip, starting with when the rider first calls a car. The ad spots will be sold on a per-trip basis instead of digital advertising's common pricing by a consumer impression. They'll let the brands actually show a user different ads at three points in the user's trip while waiting for the car, riding in the car, and upon reaching the destination. Do we really want to see that? Do we want to see that many ads on your Uber trip? I think that should be the poll.
I would like to see my driver.
App open?
I just want to see my driver show up. I was a place two weeks ago and had three drivers cancel in a row on me. No amount of advertising will make me happy about that.
There's so many things here.
You know what? You know what ad would help me there?
What's that?
An ad for Lyft. An ad for Lyft. That's how I got a ride. I switched to Lyft and got picked up.
I've got stuck with Uber. I used Lyft instead. Anyway,
well, I mean,
but you have the app open, right?
Yeah, exactly. How are you going to have the app open
Who was sitting there like, where am I right now? How's it going on my Uber app?
You're in the ride, and the app pops up while you're in.
I bet it's going to ping you. You're going to think you got a message. If you're not on your phone, it's going to.
I bet you more information about your ride.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Get pizza at Luigi's.
Anybody ever thought about changing it so you can actually put a tip that the driver is going to be able to earn, but every time he screws up, you can just take that tip
down. I like that.
A little bit at a time. Oh. Yeah, see. Anyway, all the privacy concerns really are about, Platforms such as Google, Meta, and Simplify have been tracking users' locations for many, many years. Even the FTC sued data broker Cacheva Inc. this past August, claiming that the broker was selling data that tracks people at sensitive locations, such as reproductive clinics and places of worship. Holy crap. Do you really want your ads tied to where you're going, right?
You want to ruin a politician's career? Hack into their Uber.
Or tell them to go to the Yankees game.
Ain't that the truth? All right. Sorry, Ted. Hey, we are proud about having Inlinks as a sponsor of our show. Did you know that entities play a very important role in search engines and how they actually understand your content? Gone are days of building content around keywords. Don't even worry about that anymore. You need to focus on entities and get them into the mix and reach higher rankings using Inlinks, an award-winning software in entity SEO. It provides some expert-level data to build your content around key concepts, so Google will actually have a better understanding of the context of your article. So go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/Inlinks, INLINKS today, to claim your free Inlinks account and start creating content that will outperform your competitors. And if they ask you where you heard about them, let them know that you heard them on the Edge, although that URL pretty much tell them that anyway. But just let them know, maybe not. All right, third article. So we're talking about politicians, right?
Always.
So for social media today, from Andrew Hutchinson, there's a new report, check this out, that finds that Facebook and TikTok are approving ads containing political misinformation. Say it ain't so here, folks. With the U.S. midterms, what are we talking about, like 9 days, 7 days away now? Something like that? A new investigation by human rights group Global Witness, in partnership with Cybersecurity for Democracy team in NYU, has found that Meta and TikTok are still approving ads that include political misinformation and are in clear violation of their stated ad policies. Oh, boy. So lessons not learned here, guys, is that they're just taking the money, not really caring about what they're actually putting forth. So the deal is that they actually submitted 10 English language and 10 Spanish language ads with specific user accounts, 5 containing false election information and 5 aiming to delegitimize the electoral process. They chose to target disinformation on 5 battleground states that will have close electoral races. That's Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. According to the report, and check out these links in our show notes as well as the podcast notes. We'll put our links right there nowadays. The report summary says the ads submitted clearly contain incorrect information that could potentially stop people from voting, such as false information about when and where to vote, literally dates on locations of where to vote, methods of voting, like voting twice. I mean, that's just...
And well, that is, right? You know, vote early and vote often.
Exactly. That's where they do in Chicago, right? And importantly, delegitimizing methods of voting, such as voting by mail. And the results of the test were as follows. Facebook approved 2 of the misleading ads in English and 5 of the ads in Spanish. TikTok approved all of the ads, but 2, wow. 1 in English and 1 in Spanish. YouTube blocked all the ads from running, and they also suspended the accounts that the ads were actually tied to. So good for YouTube there. So
everyone always, oh, Google this. I'm going to TikTok. TikTok's the future. Yeah, the future of misinformation.
Oh, my gosh. And on top of that, there's been a whole nother new flurry of TikTok and location-based reports or studies about that TikTok was supposedly tracking individuals and influencers in U.S. politics.
Oh, no way. I've thought about creating you won't believe this, but I've actually thought seriously about creating a TikTok account relatively recently for various related to my occupation.
This has to happen.
It will not happen. But no, it won't happen because I don't want it on my phone.
Nope. Absolutely not.
And I'm not a paranoid person. Like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, click here, fine, accept all cookies, whatever you want.
Put it on your kid's phone. Put it on your wife's phone.
Yeah. Yes. It's terrible.
They don't love these people. It's crazy. And also, look, if you're in the digital space and you're a conduit for information, whether you're Google, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, is there information on Instagram? I don't know. Snapchat, is that still a thing? Clubhouse?
It is. Clubhouse, not so much.
It is. All these things. You have a moral obligation to offer truth. Like, you just because, well, you know, it's a free space. They can say whatever they want, free speech, blah, blah, blah. They can. advertise whatever. It's not how that works. Forget what's legal, what's illegal. You have a moral obligation to ensure that the information you're spreading out there to the public, if you're a spreader of information, is accurate.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what the law is. There's a higher law.
There's a higher law, and we've put them in check, society has, over the past years with the election of 2020, the election of 2016, and days before an election, this is coming out that political misinformation is fine and dandy to these platforms. Well, you know, the biggest audience, the biggest voting audience is in TikTok right now. And the youth, the 18 through 25 generation, I mean, that's where everything's moved over to. And now TikTok's approving this type of manipulation. Guess what?
And you have to believe they're soaking it up. These are the same demographic who say that GIFs are bad and stupid. These people don't know what they're talking about. They're a suspect to all sorts of lies and ridiculousness, clearly, because they don't like GIFs.
Or GIFs.
Yeah, those too.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. Harumph out
of you. Get off my animated graphic.
Absolutely. See? So here's the deal, folks. Do not pay attention to the advertising that's out there, because there's no way to really know if this stuff is being checked and validated. Know what you're looking at whenever you're looking at social media, especially TikTok. Know that there's also an incredible feedback loop of what you're wanting to see inside of these platforms, not what's truth. You got to go find this information out yourself. Don't get clickbaited. And Lord knows, I mean, we've got reports right here. I'm sure more of this stuff's going to be coming out as the days transpire here before the election. It's a big election. Pay attention to the facts that are out there, please. All right. Switching gears. Got to get into 2-minute rounds of Barry Blast here. Okay, over at Search Engine Roundtable.
We have music for Barry Blast?
You know, we were thinking about that. We've settled on the name, Barry Blast. I think we actually need to create a soda.
I think, what you need to do is, go over to, his YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And, a montage of, audio clips of Barry.
I know exactly what I want.
Should we actually build an overdub of Barry?
I want an animated version of Barry.
Yeah.
Busting through a wall, saying, Oh yeah!
Barry Blast number one. Google's trending now for shopping results. Check it out. This is pretty cool, actually. Google's now showing a trending now box in the search results for shopping and product-related queries. This was announced back on the Search On event and now seems to be slowly rolling out. Saeed, AK, spotted this and posted some of the screenshots. You go over to the show notes, you'll be able to see this. Some very cool shoes, some fantastic slippers, right? And they're trending. And a few more screenshots out there, but the long and short of it here is, isn't this interesting? Obviously, right before the holidays and the sales going into holiday season, but to be able to see different trending products in the Google SERP, that's actually pretty cool. And that in its own right would truly affect sales to double-digit degrees for the products that are actually trending. So it's a perpetuation as well, is that all of a sudden trending pops up on the screen. It's going to trend more and more and more. Where's the governor on that? Where's the data coming from for that trending? Is it all coming out of Google Merchant Service, Google Shopping? Is that where we're getting the data? That's the question here.
It says searches.
Just searches?
I think 20%, if you go back to the screenshot, it says 20%
increase in searches this week. But is that coming off of searches inside of the Google Shopping?
I'm sure they're aggregating it from everywhere.
You sure?
Maybe not video.
Anyway, it's a cool feature. It really is. I'm just wondering how.
I don't live in the algorithm, but.
Well, my question here is a little bit more of a focus of, if it's coming straight out of Google Shopping, is that not a little bit more of a self-fulfilling environment there, that Google Shopping is actually putting forth this for the consumers to actually interact more with Google Shopping? Just asking.
Well, couldn't one argue back that if in Google Shopping, where millions of people search, and there's an increase in those searches, then it makes sense that this will be trending across the board. It's a wonderful sample size.
One could argue that.
One could argue this.
Hey, it's great over here. Check out these slippers over here. Oh, that gray one's really awesome.
Also, slippers are really trending. Oh, this is a trending slipper.
Sweatpants work.
You can put more than $5 on a slipper.
$120 UGG Taz women's slipper.
I mean, no offense, you're out, you bought $120 pair of UGG slippers. God bless you, but that is That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Yeah,
go outside over. Of the last stupid thing I heard 5 minutes ago.
All right. Well, this one certainly is not stupid because it's on Barry's site. Here's a report. Google reviews are being removed from local business profiles. There's a number of reports on Google that Google's doing some mass pruning and removal of reviews from the local map results from Google business profile listings. This is done every now and again, says Barry, and it's unclear if this is some bug or a new filter being applied to already approved reviews. So Jason Brown posted a chart in local search forum showing the number of reviews he spotted being removed over the past few days. Wow, I don't see the y-axis on that thing, but that seems to be a good number of reviews coming through. Joy Hawkins also posted on Twitter referencing that Google appears to be doing waves of review takedowns. Now, we talked to Mike Blumenthal about local SEO several weeks back, and reviews as well as just suspensions of profiles have been on the increase here over the last few months and good part of the last 6 months. But reviews, he was seeing in the spaces of 2,000 daily reviews at some point in time back in May and early June, I believe. So there's a lot that's going on in this space. I know you're not really in local SEO, Morty, but we also know there's a lot of spam out there too. And there was a lot of hijacking and advertising false reviews in there. So this is a bit of a cleanup job, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's like two-word reviews, like, it bad. Not very helpful.
Fire bad.
Right. By Frankenstein.
Exactly. Yeah, well, it's October. Got to go there. Let us know if your reviews are getting tanked, if you're paying attention to that. Certainly, professionals in local SEO watch that very, very carefully. Now, there is a forum. There is a form to be able to submit and appeal a takedown, as opposed to a appeal of an actual suspension. There's no place to actually do that, but there is a place to be able to try to request that review back. So if you think that there's something that was erroneously applied to your GBP, go check it out. I think we'll track down that form and put it in the show notes as well. Last point here. Now, this is something, talking about hijacking, third-party appointment services are hijacking Google local business profile panels. Okay, this stuff always just grinds my gears because we've seen it before. We saw it 2 years ago. Google Maps and local panels have been showing booking, appointment, reservation, and other ordering solutions from third parties for a lot of years here. And while we have a way to opt out, tell you what, it was a difficult thing. I actually saw this on a couple of our clients, and it was a bear to actually opt out. There was no clean line of attack there, but hopefully things have gotten better. It's still causing a lot of confusion. So there was a post in Twitter from Colin Nielsen. He says, I'm not liking this at all. ZocDoc appointment options being pulled into the business knowledge panel. This dental clinic doesn't want this and has to give a kickback to ZocDoc each time a user books an appointment through it. So here's the deal. If you've not seen this before, a third-party app jumps into your, I mean, this is allowed by Google to be part of kind of the partnership. It sidelongs in to an appointment. It has an icon to book an appointment or get a reservation. It's getting your leads and then selling them back to you.
It's just in restaurants all the time. The DoorDash is in the local panel.
Yep.
But they offer delivery services themselves. But now they got to pay DoorDash.
If you don't want it, you should have an easy way to navigate it. And Danny Sullivan did offer a help document for removing third-party links. But it says first, contact the third-party provider's support team or technical contact. Whoa. Wait a minute here. Are you saying, Google, that we actually have to contact the partner that you allowed into our Google business profile to get them removed as opposed to removing it yourself? Come on, Google. If you've seen it, certainly tweet about it. And we need to get Google's attention more and more on this because it's just fugly. Yes,
Jim. I've got a question here.
You got a question.
So if someone goes to ZocDoc, they can get an appointment at a dentist?
Yep.
Does that not mean the dentist has signed up for something with that service at least? Because, again, if you run a restaurant, you can choose whether or not DoorDash shows your stuff. You say, I'm only Grubhub. That's it. So if you're having problems with DoorDash, you can just stop. But the risk there, of course, is that someone only uses DoorDash, they never find your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to understand, because ZocDoc can't possibly know what your availability is.
right?
Without you giving them access. So there's something.
There's something else.
There's something that I'm missing from. It's almost like there's a step missing from everything that's going on
there. I think they purchased this from another third party point of data that you may have actually opted in. But all things being equal, Google's allowing that.
Sure.
And it's not allowing explicit permission granted. It's almost like forgiveness. Right. And, I mean, we've had reports where these things were on these Google business profiles for months.
Yeah.
Until they noticed it. It's like, what the heck? And what type of money is Google getting out of that particular relationship as well?
All of it. They get it all.
Alrighty, those are the Berry Blasts. Hey, we do want to make sure that you check out our third and final sponsor. Page One Power is a sponsor of Edge of the Web, and we're eager to share with our listeners what they do. They're an SEO agency specializing in sustainable link building, link earning more specifically, and strategic content creation. They've got over 11 years of experience, and they earn over 15,000 links each and every year for their clients. They can do custom link earning, white label link earning, technical SEO audits, as well as content marketing. So go over to edgeoftheweberadio.com/page1power, all one word, and you can actually get the 2022 ebook about link building from beginning to launch, a great ebook to gear into your inbound link journey into 2022 and 2023. edgeoftheweberadio.com/page1power. All right, wrapping it all up here today, we've got SEO chat. Who's on SEO chat this week?
Nope, it's wrong.
That's wrong, fellas. That's the wrong Gemma.
It's a wrong Gemma.
Gemma Fontaine is
That's right.
Oh boy.
Well, hang on. That's not what you guys told me.
Gemma Fontaine. Gemma Fontaine.
That's because I tweeted the wrong Gemma initially.
Wow.
So Jay was sitting here like, oh no, how did I screw that up? It was totally me, dude.
No graphic this week. Tell us, Morty.
No, because I'll tell you why. Because I interviewed Gemma Houghton from WebCertain about multilingual relatively recently.
Maybe she'll
so I'm like,
her
oh, on. SEO chat is, yeah, she's great. It is, oh, it's Gemma. I didn't book her, by the way. Nicole Ponce helped me run this over at SEMrush. She's the one who booked her. I got confused. I apologize. I'm a little rusty.
No. Barry's a little rusty.
Call me Mr. Rusty. Mr. Rusty.
So Gemma Fontaine's on deck for SEO Chat. And if you don't know what SEO Chat is, every Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern, is a Twitter chat, hashtag SEO Chat, where you can connect with some of the best SEOs on the planet as they talk about different subject matter as it applies to SEO. I'm doing a better commercial than you are on your own creation.
But out of those great SEOs who are there, you are not there.
Oh my gosh.
Have you barely shown up?
Do you hear him? Oh my Lord.
Do a little bit of Jewish guilt for you. That's all.
Do you know what the topic is?
Multilingual. I said I got confused because we're talking about multilingual. Then I interviewed one Gemma about multilingual, but it's really a different Gemma who's actually hosting, and I got confused.
So it's multilingual, multi-Gemma?
Multi-Gemma.
Yikes. All right. Well, that's it for the show here, guys. Welcome, Morty, back. Hey, everybody, make sure that you get a nice standing ovation. Thanks for coming back on the show.
I feel like Brendan Fraser, all these screenings of his new movie. He gets standing ovations and he cries. Anyway, check that out.
He actually does. Yeah, he's a little bit emotional.
I like him.
He's
Brendan
glad
Fraser.
To be back.
He is.
Well, when's the last time you saw him before this?
The Mummy.
Right.
I haven't seen that.
I'd be crying too.
The last time I saw was that movie about like the Jewish kid who goes to the high school of Matt Damon.
All right. Thank you so much, Morty. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me once again.
You're more than welcome. Hey, check out Surf's Up because it's a great show this week. That's it for The Edge this week as well. Make sure you check out the third segment of the Olga Zarzeshna interview as we really dove into what this SEO community is all about and how to protect yourself from some plagiarism that could very well happen to you as well. So check that out. It's going to be dropping Thursday this week. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hey, and by the way, we could certainly use a review from you. So if you go over to ratethispodcast.com/review today, it gets you over to the platforms that you can actually submit a review on this show or shows that you've heard in general. That's helping us get in front of more listeners like you. That's the only way to do it. So if you could do that for us as a loyal listener to Edge. If you're here by this time in the show, then yeah, you're a friend of ours. Give us a review over at ratethispodcast.com/review. From all of us over at the Edge, stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.